Now, the rest of the story. Precisely 75 summers ago, it was 1913, Prince Albert of Monaco visited the United States, and among his principal interests were a hunting trip in Wyoming, in the Shoshone National Forest. The prince stayed at Pawhuska Teepee, a hunting lodge near the east entrance to Yellowstone National Park. One day he and his party were escorted to the North Fork drainage about half a day's horseback ride from the lodge, and there they pitched camp for the night. In honor of the prince, the site was christened Camp Monaco. Camp Monaco. The prince's guide even carved that designation into the trunk of a giant fir tree with his hunting knife. The inscription read, Camp Monaco, 1913. But now this is the rest of the story. Three quarters of a century later, this summer, a conflagration swept the forests of Yellowstone National Park such as no white man had ever witnessed. By mid-September, more than half of the park's 2.2 million acres had been affected. 9,000 firefighters were battling 13 major fires in the region, seemingly in vain. Area residents were evacuated. Tourist-dependent businesses were closed. Cook City, on the northeast edge of the park, was redubbed Cooked, C-O-O-K-E-D, Cooked City. Yet while no one can deny the human impact of the Yellowstone blaze of 88, it is intriguing, perhaps all the more so, to consider this apparent tragedy's positive side. Ecologically speaking, such fires are not only acceptable, some fires are necessary. Nature has no other house cleaning system, no other way to clear out dead trees and brush. And while it's tempting to impose a people perspective on woodland creatures, it is important to realize that wildlife is instinctively adapted to forest fires. Animals move almost nonchalantly out of the fire's path, and experts tell us that there is really little fire mortality, that people, not nature, are the true enemies of animals. Anyway, it's also surprising to note that bear and moose and deer and elk return to the area within hours while the earth is still smoldering, for in that brief time, enough rootstocks have re-sprouted, mind you, to provide food for even the larger animals. Within 5 weeks, grasses and numerous small plants will have sprung up from the new mineral-rich soil. So prepared is nature for this predictable cyclical event that lodgepole pine cones are programmed to release their seeds on occasions of fire extreme heat. This is the miracle of nature. But was this a miracle of another kind? You'll recall the 75-year-ago hunting trip of Prince Albert in the region when the prince's hunting guide carved something in a fir tree at an overnight campsite. Imagine the astonishment of those aboard a Forest Service helicopter when this summer they returned from surveying the North Fork drainage to report that they had looked down on the hundreds of acres of black and had seen in its charred midst a tiny pinpoint of green. That's right. In the wake of all that destruction, a solitary fir tree had survived. One tree, towering alone over the vast, grim disasterscape. A single living tree with this inscription in its 4-foot trunk, Camp Monaco, 1913. Trees within 6 feet were in ashes, yet that one tree lives on, bearing the hunting knife handwriting of Prince Albert's guide. An American legend who really lived. And whom you know, for that guide was the one and only Buffalo Bill Cody. And now you know the rest of the story.